bring you the news from Tokyo. I'm Joseph Queenie.
And I'm Kaori Nimura.
Our news coverage this hour focuses entirely on the catastrophic earthquake in Japan. The program has been expanded to 29 minutes from the regular 10 minutes. In Friday's major earthquake and tsunamis, more than 1,300 people have been confirmed dead in eastern Japan. In addition, more than 10,000 people are still unaccounted for. The total number of evacuees reaches about 310,000 in six prefectures in northeastern Japan. In the coastal town of Minami Sanriku in Miyagi Prefecture, about 10,000 people, or more than half the town's population of 17,000, have not been in contact. Most of the town's houses have been washed away by a tsunami, except a hospital and several other concrete structures. In Miyagi Prefecture, 515 people have been confirmed dead. The prefectural police chief says the death toll could exceed 10,000. On a beach in Sendai, the main city of Miyagi Prefecture, 200 to 300 unidentified bodies, believed to have been swept away by a tsunami, have been found. The bodies have yet to be recovered. In neighboring Iwate Prefecture, 500 people have been confirmed dead. Local police say a total of 315 people are still not in contact. In Fukushima Prefecture, the confirmed death toll reached 285. Nearly 1,200 people are still unaccounted for.
About 310,000 people have evacuated their homes in northeastern Japan after a major earthquake shook the region on Friday. NHK's survey has found that 315,560 people were taking refuge at 1,941 evacuation centers in six Tohoku prefectures as of 1 p.m. on Sunday. Municipalities in devastated areas are facing difficulties confirming the numbers. Temperatures dropped sharply during the night and the early morning in the quake-hit areas. Some evacuation centers are having difficulties keeping people warm due to heating fuel shortages.
Japan's meteorological agency has lifted all tsunami warnings for Pacific coastal areas of Japan. The lifted advisories had been issued for 12 prefectures from Hokkaido to Miyazaki, all facing the Pacific. Immediately after the magnitude 9.0 earthquake struck on Friday, the agency issued tsunami warnings and advisories for all coastal areas, including those along the Sea of Japan. The agency gradually downgraded the warnings. But it warns residents of Pacific coastal areas to stay alert for possible tsunamis arising from continuing aftershocks.
Japan's meteorological agency says the magnitude of Friday's earthquake that hit the Pacific coast of northeastern Japan was 9.0 instead of 8.8 as earlier announced. The agency made the correction on Sunday morning after analyzing seismic waves and other data. The magnitude is equivalent to that of the 2004 earthquake off Sumatra, Indonesia, which triggered massive tsunamis in the Indian Ocean. The agency says the focal zone of Friday's quake was about 500 kilometers long and 200 kilometers wide. Destructive movement along the fault continued for more than 5 minutes. The meteorological agency says only four other quakes in the world have recorded magnitudes of 9 or above. The largest was the magnitude 9.5 quake that hit the Chilean coast in 1960, killing more than 1,600. The quake also triggered tsunamis in Japan, leaving 142 people dead. The 2004 quake off Sumatra registered a magnitude of 9.1. Subsequent joint tsunamis killed more than 200,000 people.
Cooling system problems continue to plague two nuclear plants in earthquake-hit Fukushima Prefecture. The level of coolant water in the number 3 reactor at the Fukushima number 1 power plant dropped on Sunday, leaving the fuel rods exposed by 2 meters. The situation continued for at least until 3 p.m., possibly causing a partial melting of the rods. As a result, masses of hydrogen gas have accumulated inside at the top of the reactor building. The gas may cause an explosion similar to that which occurred at the number one reactor on Saturday. Tokyo Electric Power Company, also known as TEPCO, is considering ways to remove the hydrogen from the structure. The number one reactor and its containment structure are being pumped with seawater in an effort to secure cooling. The Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency says the amount of seawater should entirely fill the reactor structure and that the building should be safe as long as the water flow continues. At the number two reactor, the amount of coolant continues to be lower than usual, and the pressure within the containment vessel is above normal. TEPCO attempted to restore the functioning of an electrical pressure relief device by connecting a generator, but has not succeeded. The company is considering other means to relieve the reactor pressure, such as releasing air from the containment vessel. Inadequate cooling is also occurring at the Fukushima No. 2 power plant, where the pumps to send seawater to cool the No. 1, 2, and 4 reactors have failed due to the tsunami. TEPCO says it will try to restore the cooling systems by replacing the pump motors overnight.
Health authorities in the Japanese prefecture of Fukushima will conduct radiation screening for residents who lived near the prefecture's quake-hit nuclear power plant. It has been confirmed that 22 people were exposed to radiation following the hydrogen explosion at the plant's number one reactor building. Health authorities will conduct screenings at evacuation shelters across the prefecture and also provide testing to other residents who desire it. If the levels of exposure are confirmed to require decontamination, residents will be advised to dispose of their clothing and to shower. Officials are now deciding where to establish decontamination facilities. On Sunday, the prefecture confirmed 19 people had suffered radiation exposure, bringing the total to 22. Authorities deny the victims' health is at risk.
The Japanese government rates the accident at the Fukushima No. 1 nuclear power plant at level 4 on an international scale of 0 to 7. Two radioactive substances, cesium and radioactive iodine, were detected near the No. 1 reactor at the plant on Saturday. Their presence indicates nuclear fission of uranium. The Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency said that fuel in the reactor partially melted. It's the first such accident in Japan. A level 4 on the International Nuclear and Radiological Event Scale includes damage to fuel and release of significant quantities of radioactive material within an installation. It's the same level as a criticality accident at a nuclear fuel processing plant in Tokai Village in Ibaraki Prefecture, south of Fukushima, in 1999. The agency called the accident very regrettable, even though it was triggered by an earthquake. NHK World's Yuko Aotani talked to Kazuaki Matsui, executive director of the Institute of Applied Energy and an expert in nuclear power plant issues.
Now, Mr. Matsui, the Japanese government rates the accident at Fukushima No. 1 power plant level 4 on an international scale of 0 to 7. So how serious is the situation exactly?
Well, of course, the situation is very serious. Well, then, but you may recall that the Chernobyl accident in the former Soviet Union, they have rated number 7. And then, in 1979, in U.S., so-called Three Mile Island, a little bit similar accident to this situation today, they have rated number 5. And then this time, this situation was rated, I think it's a temporarily by our safety authority or government, but as number 4. Mm-hmm. But then you can imagine the how serious it is. And then, of course, you may have said already, but for the reactor cores of number 1 and number 3, mm-hmm. at some time it was uncovered by the water, and then especially for number 1 core, it may have had a kind of fuel damage. You may call it Some people may call it meltdown, but well, we don't know how serious it was, but something like that was, seems happened. Anyway, the accident here was very serious. But, however, according to the report by the safety authorities, the very decent one, the both cores was covered by the water, and then it means it wore the cooling and settled down the situation, at least I believe.
Okay. So, but then many measures were being taken to defuse the situation. But how come, why these things are sufficient, or was it not sufficient? Why did this thing happen?
Well, the necessary things is to bring back the power to run the pumps and whatever the systems, and of course the cooling capabilities. I believe that the Tokyo Electric Power Company's officials have done as much as possible. I mean, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the means which they have taken, including the injection of seawater, which may damage the property of a very expensive reactor itself.
So the reactor itself might not be usable later?
Technically speaking, possible to these, but
it's an important measure to
right.
stop the situation.
Yeah.
I see. Now, safety mechanisms were in place to avoid a worst case scenario, but why has the situation become a critical one such as this?
Right. Of course, there were safety systems against, of course, earthquakes and the tsunami both. But well, the report says that was the very extraordinary. Well, high earthquake and tsunami.
Unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one. I mean, the much over the maximum expectation. I don't know, maybe twice or three times, something like that. But the strong standing against the earthquake, but especially against the tsunami, the emergency diesel engine systems, power systems, may have damaged so seriously, then these are power which supposed to supply the power to the pumps to the cool down the core. That's the most serious things which we have encountered in this situation.
I see. One last question. Now, the government has ordered an evacuation area of 20 kilometers due to fears of radiation, but some people were exposed to it while they were evacuating. Do you think people who are beyond the 20 kilometer radius will be harmed by radiation? What do you think?
Well, to the last point, I'd like to say no, not necessary. I mean, that probably no. But especially those measurements, I believe that this time or moment, I'm not quite sure what they have measured, but perhaps they have tried to measure the radioactivity on the cold surface.
Mm-hmm.
But that the amount of the material, it does not relate to the dose itself directly or the health effect. No, they are on the cold. They may have some iodine or cesium, but I have still some doubts, but it does not directly translate it to the damage, no. I told you that in 79, Three Mile Island, and then there are some core melt there, and then some radioactive materials were released to the outside. But we know, we remember that fairly big amount of radioactivity were released outside environment, including iodine and cesium, but the real health effect No.
There weren't that there much of a health effect in 79.
And it might be a little bit early to extrapolate that, mm-hmm. that case to our situation, but I
but
hope.
We don't know yet, yes, but yes. There's not be too much of a worry as yet, but we'll see how it goes later.
That was Kazuaki Matsui from the Institute of Applied Energy.
You're listening to NHK World Radio Japan in Tokyo. The news continues. Japan's defense ministry says one of its naval vessels rescued a man swept away by tsunami waves off Fukushima Prefecture. The Maritime Self-Defense Forces destroyer Chokai rescued the man on Sunday, 3 days after the tsunami, while searching for survivors about 15 kilometers off Futaba Town. He was waving his hands and drifting on a broken roof. The 60-year-old survivor is Hiromitsu Shinkawa of Minami Soma City, Fukushima. He has been temporarily hospitalized but has no major injuries. Shinkawa told officials he was swept away along with his house when he returned home briefly to collect personal items. He says he does not know the whereabouts of his wife, with whom he evacuated earlier.
Japan's Prime Minister Naoto Kan has doubled the size of the Self-Defense Forces relief mission to 100,000 personnel. Kan was speaking at an emergency disaster task force meeting on Sunday morning. He said saving lives is the utmost priority since there are many people awaiting rescue in isolated areas 2 days after the earthquake. He said that the distribution of relief supplies to evacuees needs to be enhanced. Kan also said the national government should provide support directly in some areas where local municipalities are no longer functioning. Kan said as a serious situation is developing at one of the reactors of the Fukushima No. 1 nuclear power plant, the safety of residents is of utmost importance. He said relief work should be undertaken without delay. Kan also instructed participants to start working toward restoration and rebuilding in the aftermath of the quake. Defense Minister Toshimi Kitazawa said that following the instruction by the Prime Minister, the additional SDF personnel will be posted on relief missions within 2 days.
Search and rescue teams from six nations and abound for regions of northeastern Japan devastated by Friday's earthquake and tsunami. Rescuers from the United States, South Korea, China, Singapore, Germany, and Switzerland flew in to Japan over the weekend. A U.S. team landed at the U.S. Air Force Base in Misawa, Aomori Prefecture, the northernmost prefecture of Japan's main island, on Sunday afternoon. The team will head for Ofunato City, Iwate Prefecture, to begin rescue operations and medical treatment. At sea, the U.S. naval destroyers McCampbell and Curtis Wilbur have been searching for survivors, while nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS Ronald Reagan, has arrived off the quake-stricken coast. On board the carrier, U.S. military personnel are refueling Japan's Self-Defense Force helicopters. South Korea's rescue team will focus on devastated areas of Miyagi Prefecture after landing at Hanamaki Airport in neighboring Iwate Prefecture. And a rescue team of 15 experts from China arrived at Haneda Airport in Tokyo on Sunday. Team leader In Guanhui said the team wants to reach the disaster zone as soon as possible to start their search for survivors together with other rescuers on the ground. This is the first time for a Chinese disaster rescue team to work in Japan. Five rescuers and five search dogs from Singapore flew into Fukushima Prefecture on a Self-Defense Force plane after arriving at Narita Airport. German and Swiss rescuers and search dogs will head for Tome City, Miyagi Prefecture, where their area of operations will be determined. The influx of foreign rescue teams is expected to continue. On Sunday night, the first contingent from New Zealand, which suffered its own devastating earthquake last month, will arrive at Narita Airport. Britain is sending 63 rescuers and medical personnel and two search dogs, while France will send two rescue teams. And in response to a request from the Japanese government, the United Nations will send 7 disaster assessment experts to help coordinate rescuers from different countries. The UN team is due to start arriving in Japan on Sunday. Russia is providing support, with Prime Minister Vladimir Putin ordering an increase in the supply of liquefied natural gas to Japan from the Sakhalin 2 project, in which Japan is participating. The extra fuel is to cope with power shortages across Japan, which may continue for some time. Japan's foreign ministry says 69 countries, territories, and international organizations are offering assistance.
Accidents at a nuclear plant in Fukushima Prefecture, triggered by the last of earthquakes in northeastern Japan on Friday, are attracting international concern. The Russian government has started 24-hour monitoring of radiation levels in the Far East. Mobile medical facilities are being set up in readiness for unexpected developments, but the Russian government says the situation is under control and there is no risk to the country. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission that oversees nuclear power plants in the United States has dispatched 2 experts to Japan. Commission Chairman Gregory Jacko says the organization has engineers with the highest expertise and will do its best to provide support. The Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Yukiya Amano, says the agency is ready to send experts to investigate effects of radiation exposure if requested by the Japanese government. The international media is also taking intense interest in the nuclear accidents, covering the government's press conferences as breaking news. Many countries have been aggressively building nuclear power plants in recent years.
Tokyo Electric Power Company has announced it will implement rotating power outages to cope with severe electricity shortages in the wake of Friday's massive earthquake. This is the first time the power utility, commonly known as TEPCO, will employ such outages since it was established in 1951. TEPCO President Masataka Shimizu told reporters on Sunday that the utility's 2 nuclear power plants and 5 thermal plants in the Tohoku and Kanto regions have halted operations. He said Sunday's power supply was not affected, as many companies are not running their factories. But he said it will be difficult to secure necessary power on Monday as businesses resume operations, and that this may lead to blackouts in metropolitan areas. In response, the utility will implement outages from Monday. Power will be cut to predetermined areas served by TEPCO in a rotating order for a fixed time. The utility will decide for how long to continue the outages based on demand and the status of its power plant's recovery. Trade and Industry Minister Ban Li-Kaedo says TEPCO's current capacity is 31 million kilowatts per day, which is 10 million kilowatts short of the daily demand of 41 million kilowatts. He said the plant outages were necessary to avert sudden large-scale blackouts.
Seismological experts say tsunami waves caused by the earthquake in Japan's northeast may have been amplified to more than 10 meters in some areas by complicated coastal geography. A group of researchers led by Professor Takashi Furumura at the University of Tokyo's Earthquake Research Institute released the findings after analyzing data on major tsunami waves triggered by the quake. They say the first seismic sea wave reached the shore within 10 minutes after the earthquake. Around 30 minutes after the quake, coastlines in Iwate and Miyagi prefectures were hit by waves of higher than 3 meters. Professor Furumura estimates that the height of waves topped 10 meters in some locations. He pointed to the possibility that rushing seawater was pushed up by the complicated coastlines of Rikuzen Takata City in Iwate and Minami Sanriku Town in Miyagi. The professor also says that tsunamis may have been trapped inside Sendai Bay, which has a wide mouth. He says that may have amplified the waves in places like the cities of Sendai and Natori in Miyagi and Fukushima Prefecture's Soma region. You're You're listening to NHK World Radio Japan in Tokyo. Now here's a look at the top stories at this hour. In Friday's major earthquake and tsunamis, more than 1,300 people have been confirmed dead in eastern Japan. In addition, more than 10,000 people are still unaccounted for. The total number of evacuees reaches about 310,000 in six prefectures in northeastern Japan. In the coastal town of Minami Sanriku in Miyagi Prefecture, about 10,000 people, or more than half the town's population of 17,000, have not been in contact. Most of the town's houses have been washed away by a tsunami, except a hospital and several other concrete structures. In Miyagi Prefecture, 515 people have been confirmed dead. The prefectural police chief says the death toll could exceed 10,000. On a beach in Sendai, the main city of Miyagi Prefecture, 200 to 300 unidentified bodies, believed to have been swept away by a tsunami, have been found. The bodies have yet to be recovered. In neighboring Iwate Prefecture, 500 people have been confirmed dead. Local police say a total of 315 people are still not in contact. In Fukushima Prefecture, the confirmed death toll reached 285. Nearly 1,200 people are still unaccounted for.
About 310,000 people have evacuated their homes in northeastern Japan after a major earthquake shook the region on Friday. NHK survey has found that 315,560 people were taking refuge at 1,941 evacuation centers in six Tohoku prefectures as of 1 p.m. on Sunday. Municipalities in devastated areas are facing difficulties confirming the numbers. Temperatures dropped sharply during the night and the early morning in the quake-hit areas. Some evacuation centers are having difficulties keeping people warm due to heating fuel shortages.
Japan's meteorological agency has lifted all tsunami warnings for Pacific coastal areas of Japan. Lifted advisories had been issued for 12 prefectures from Hokkaido to Miyazaki, all facing the Pacific. Immediately after the magnitude 9.0 earthquake struck on Friday, the agency issued tsunami warnings and advisories for all coastal areas, including those along the Sea of Japan. The agency gradually downgraded the warnings, but it warns residents of Pacific coastal areas to stay alert for possible tsunamis arising from continuing aftershocks.
Japan's meteorological agency says the magnitude of Friday's earthquake that hit the Pacific coast of northeastern Japan was 9.0 instead of 8.8 as earlier announced. The agency made the correction on Sunday morning after analyzing seismic waves and other data. The magnitude is equivalent to that of the 2004 earthquake off Sumatra, Indonesia, which triggered massive tsunamis in the Indian Ocean. The agency says the focal zone of Friday's quake was about 500 kilometers long and 200 kilometers wide. Destructive movement along the fault continued for more than 5 minutes. The meteorological agency says only four other quakes in the world have recorded magnitudes of 9 or above. The largest was the magnitude 9.5 quake that hit the Chilean coast in 1960, killing more than 1,600. The quake also triggered tsunamis in Japan, leaving 142 people dead. The 2004 quake off Sumatra registered a magnitude of 9.1. Subsequent joint tsunamis killed more than 200,000 people.
Our news coverage this hour focused entirely on the catastrophic earthquake in Japan. The program has been expanded to 29 minutes from the regular 10 minutes. And that was the news from NHK World Radio Japan in Tokyo. I'm Joseph Queenie.
And I'm Kaori Nimura.